Welcome to Education Today. Our program deals with one of the most important and controversial topics of our time, education, a multi-billion dollar enterprise that touches the lives of every citizen every day. For over 20 years, we've talked with educators, students, and others with a stake in education in an effort to explore the latest trends and issues in the world of education, as well as to monitor the ever-changing educational landscape. I'm your host, Dan Angelo, and today my guest is Mr. Brian Gray, who's the Assistant Director of Community Engagement and the Coordinator of the Homework Hotline at Harvey Mudd College in Claremont. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we ask you to be here to talk about the Homework Hotline. So why don't we start by having you share with our listeners what the Homework Hotline is, what it does, who it does it for, and maybe even how it came into being.
Absolutely. So the Homework Hotline is a free over-the-phone tutoring program for in math and science for any student, primarily in grades 4 through 12. They call in 5 nights a week. We're open Sunday through Thursday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's a toll-free number that students can use, and they're connected to a tutor when they call. And those tutors are Harvey Mudd College students. And they can ask whatever math or science questions they might have. So if they're struggling with their homework, they're preparing for a test, they want to get ready for the SAT, the ACT, you know, any of those things, they can talk with one of our tutors and get free help. So this is a completely free program. There's no charge to use it. And we started, we kind of built off of another program. So Rose Holman Institute of Technology in Indiana started a very similar hotline in 1991 and had tremendous success with it. And so they grew that program to kind of satellites around the nation, and we were the first one to pick that up. And so in 2010, we launched a pilot to provide services for students in Southern California, primarily in the Claremont, Pomona, Montclair region, but we don't limit ourselves geographically. So in 2010, we piloted it. It went really well, and so we expanded it. And we've actually been expanding ever since. We just completed a renovation to expand our hotline to 11 stations from 8. But the overall mission is to provide supplementary tutoring services, free of charge and available to any student who might need it.
Boy, that is, number one, that is awesome. And number two, you've given us so much to work with. Let me see where to start. Let's start by having you give that toll-free number. And for our listeners who are scrambling now for a pen or a pencil or a piece of scrap paper, I will ask Brian to repeat this number again at the end of the show. So if you don't get it this time around, stay with us. Brian, what is that toll-free number?
Absolutely. So it's 1-877-827-5462.
Okay, one more time, just in case they were a little bit slow.
Mm-hmm. It's 877-827-5462.
Excellent. Now, when a person who is somewhere between 4th grade and 12th grade calls that number, and what were the hours again?
Right. So we are open Sunday through Thursday, and our first day will be this Sunday, September 6th, because our college is just starting again today, actually. So we're waiting for our tutors to come back. We're open Sunday through Thursday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and that's Pacific time.
Okay. So when a K-12 student between the 4th grade and 12th grade calls that number during those hours, what is the first thing that they hear? Are they answered by a machine and then routed to a tutor, or how does that part of it work?
All right, that's a great question. So, yeah, they do actually hear a machine, but they'll hear my voice, actually. So the voice you're hearing now is the voice you'll hear then. And that first prompt is a language selection prompt. So they can choose the language they'd like to proceed in. We currently offer tutorial services in math and science, but in 4 languages. So we have English, Spanish, Tagalog, and Mandarin. And we added those languages in response to community need. We had a lot of parents and families who weren't as comfortable in English, but still wanted the help and wanted to be a part of their child's educational process. And so we added those language lines. So the first thing students hear when they call that number is pick your language, right? Push 1 for English, push 2 for Spanish, and so on. And then from there, they're connected to a tutor. And so most of our students are choosing the English line, and so they're connected automatically to a tutor. Now, if all the tutors are busy, they'll hear, hold music. And then as soon as the tutor becomes available, they're connected directly to that tutor. And when the tutor comes online, the students will hear something along the lines of, "Thank you for calling the Homework Hotline. My name is Brian. How can I help you tonight?"
and then the student proceeds to share their question or their confusion or whatever it is that prompted their
Absolutely, yeah, time. And we're able to respond to all sorts of scenarios. Sometimes our students know exactly what they need help with. Like, I'm working on this, and this is the issue I'm struggling with, and can you help me figure out the next step? Other students are like, I'm working on math.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are a little more lost. We know it can be really stressful and tough to struggle with math or science, and we know it can be really intimidating to admit that you might need help. Right, so our tutors are really well trained. They're all very friendly, so they're really, you know, seeking. They're gonna initiate the conversation if the students aren't, right? So they're gonna try to make them feel welcome. They're gonna, you know, ask, okay, cool. Like, math sounds great. You know, what math are you in? What school do you go to? You know, they're really trying to establish that rapport early on to make it a much more comfortable conversation.
Now, oh my gosh, so. Most of the calls come from the students themselves, or you mentioned that there were parents who wanted to be involved in their students' education. Do you get calls directly from parents who may...
Yeah, we do. So the vast majority of calls, as you mentioned, come from the students themselves. Now, sometimes it's the students by themselves, right? And those are usually our high school students. So we do ask our students a couple things, you know, what grade they're in, what school they go to, and what they need help with. Everything else is completely anonymous. They don't report their name, where they live, any of that other stuff. So high schoolers often call by themselves because they're, you know, they tend to be a little more independent in terms of their learning. But you know, we take all sorts of combinations. So we have younger callers calling in with their parents. Their parents want to hear what's going on. They want to, you know, assess the tutoring process. They want to be able to provide help to their kids too. And so we have parents calling with their kids. We've had some parents call in by themselves saying, you know what, I'd love to tutor my daughter or my son in algebra, but it's been 10 or 15 or 20 years since I've had it. Can you help me? And we're thrilled to have that sort of interaction. So we're happy to help parents with that. Other times, parents just want to listen in and see, you know, what the process is like.
That is just totally awesome. The thought occurs to me that you said that you just expanded from 8 stations to 11, was it?
Yes, sir.
So... how does the staffing part of this work? You mentioned that these are Harvey Mudge College students. How are they selected? How are they compensated? Is this part of a larger class experience for them or work study? How does that part, how do the behind-the-scenes mechanics work?
Absolutely. Okay, so we have a crew of about 40 to 50 tutors each year, and most of these tutors work just one night, maybe two nights per week. They're selected on a couple of factors. First, for those listeners who aren't familiar with Harvey Mudge College, we're a small liberal arts college in Claremont, California, part of the Claremont University Consortium, but we have a major STEM focus. So all of our students are majoring in the sciences, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And we have a little over 800 students currently, so we're a very tiny school. But these are, you know, top-flight students. They understand science, technology, engineering, math extremely well. So the technical expertise kind of comes built in. But we're looking for students that kind of go beyond that. So we're looking for students who have had a tutoring experience of their own. Now, we're not necessarily looking for people who have been tutors, although that certainly helps. We're looking for people who understand the tutoring process. And we find that a lot of our best tutors really come from backgrounds of, I needed to ask for help a lot when I was in school, or while they're here at Harvey Mudd. They understand what it's like to ask for help. They understand what it's like to get good help, and you know, what sorts of questions really helped them understand material. So we're looking for that sort of background. Then on top of that, we're looking for exceptional communication skills, right? Can they communicate on the phone? Can they form a quick rapport with students? Are they flexible and patient, right? All of those skills are the really key skills we're looking for an effective tutor. Now, the vast majority of our tutors are paid. Some of them are work-study, and then others are paid. We have a grant through the Simons Foundation that actually funds the hotline, and so the tutors are all paid that way.
I suspected that there must be some grant money in there someplace. I mean, it's not just paying the tutors. You have to set up the physical space. You have to provide the communication mechanisms, the phone lines, et cetera, et cetera. And okay. Those things do not just fall out of the sky. So you do have grant funding that underwrites this effort.
Yeah, and you're right. There's a lot of expenses that go into maintaining a hotline. So the tutors are the critical component, right? Without good tutors, it doesn't matter what else we have. So we're always on the lookout for great tutors. And we have a large pool of them, so they're not overburdened in terms of how much time they're spending at the hotline. But you're right. The infrastructure. We have a call server that we use that allows us to route calls and hold calls in case we're experiencing a busy night. We pay the tolls so it's a toll-free number, but we pay for it on that back end.
Right.
We keep copies of textbooks that all the local schools are using.
Hmm.
So if a student calls in and says, I'm working out of this textbook, it's blue with roller coasters on the front, we have that book. So we say, okay, great, what page are you on? So we buy the textbooks. But then we're also taking care of all the other expenses associated with operating a call center.
This is so phenomenal, and I'm tempted to say, where were you 50 years ago when I needed you when I was in school?
I wish it existed when I was in high school.
I am not a math or science kind of a person. My kids who are will tell you that fact. I quit being able to help my kids with their math assignments somewhere between the fourth and fifth grades. Okay. So, all of this just sounds so wonderful and so supportive. I'm curious, as a former college administrator myself, I'm curious how you brought this into being, because a lot of good ideas are discussed in a lot of meetings, and only a fraction of them go forward. So what was the secret of your success in bringing this about?
Good question. So I wanted to kind of touch on something you said just a second ago, and that you might not be a math or science person, right? And a lot of our tutors expressed something similar in terms of when they were going to middle school or high school, they were told, were left the impression they might not be math or science people. And the tutors themselves really operate under the mentality that anyone can become a math or science person, right? Math or science is a skill that we can practice and develop just like any other skill, right? Most of us aren't born natural cooks or chefs, right? But a lot of us can learn to become really excellent cooks, or at least provide food for ourselves that we're happy to eat, right? And math and science is very similar skills. So our tutors are really big proponents of that mentality. But how we came into being, we were lucky that we had a mentor program to work with. As I mentioned, Rose Holman Institute of Technology has been operating a homework hotline since 1991. And they were really supportive, and still are extraordinarily supportive of our program. So they helped us figure out how we might do things. They let us visit their call center, interact with their tutors and their administrators, and kind of figure out what we needed to do. Now, the other great thing about Rose Holman is they really advocated us developing our own kind of flavor, right? So what works really well for them in Indiana might not translate very well to what we do here in Claremont or the greater Los Angeles region and the Inland Empire. So they've given us a lot of autonomy to develop in our own direction and while still providing resources. And we've also had an incredibly supportive atmosphere here at Harvey Mudd from our president on down. Everyone's been really supportive in terms of what do we need to do to make this work, what sorts of resources are you going to need in order to launch this and then evaluate it to make sure it's functioning, and what sorts of resources do you need to keep the program going as long as it possibly can. We don't want this to dry up, so how do we make sure that this becomes a sustainable program? So we've had really incredible support from the other homework hotline in Indiana, but also from our internal campus, and then the funding support from the Simons Foundation.
If you just happen to join us, you're listening to Education Today. My name is Dan Angelo, and with me on the phone today is Mr. Brian Gray, who's the Assistant Director of Community Engagement at Harvey Mudd College and also the coordinator of the Homework Hotline, which is the topic of today's discussion. Now, Brian, when you said that you have recruited between 40 and 50 tutors, and the school has an overall enrollment of about 800,
yeah,
you have a very high percentage of your student population working in this program. Now,
absolutely.
In my experience, those kind of ratios don't come about by random chance. How has this become? This obviously is an attractive gig for students on campus. How did you get it to that point where students are willingly and want to be a part of this program?
That's a great question. And there's actually a couple of things going on. One is the institutional culture, right? Harvey Mudd was a school founded with a very particular mission, and it wasn't just to produce the best scientists and engineers possible. It was to produce the best scientists and engineers that also had a really strong understanding of the work they were doing on society, and vice versa, right? How does society impact the work that we're doing? So the students that come to Mudd already have this inherent desire to to bridge those gaps, right? To make sure that they're well-rounded students, that they have this really constant conversation with, you know, the world outside of academia, right? So we have this really great institutional culture here. On top of that, we really try to make this an atmosphere that's very tutor-centered, right? The overall goal is to provide excellent support for our callers. But we find that one of the best ways to do that is to make sure our tutors are having a good time, they feel valued and respected. So we have a few layers of strategies that we use. One is we have a group of mentor tutors, and these are people who have been with the program for at least a year, often longer. And many of our tutors actually stick around for their entire academic career. So if we hire them during their first year, they'll tutor with us until they graduate. But the mentor tutors provide a lot of support during the operational hours, right? So they're checking in with the other tutors, make sure that the calls are going okay, giving them resources. You know, they're kind of hanging out nearby to see if someone might need a textbook or if they might need a little hint on an equation, you know, that sort of thing. And we also really try to facilitate a very collaborative atmosphere. And this is something that exists at our college to begin with. A lot of people think of kind of, you know, elite schools as being very competitive places, you know, kind of grindhouses. And that's really not the case at Harvey Mudd. Harvey Mudd is an incredibly collaborative environment. Students work together. You'll see students who have finished their work coming back to study areas to see if anyone else needs help or might need some guidance or support. And so we've really just replicated that atmosphere within the homework hotline. The tutors help each other out. They're, you know, they're talking with each other. It's a very loud and very friendly environment. If you ever stop by the homework hotline, you walk into this, you know, this wall of sound, right? So the tutors are chatting with each other. They're talking with each other. And I like to think that they're having a good time. They all seem to be pretty good friends. You know, they're drawing. They're making artwork with each other. They're doing things outside of the homework hotline together. So having that sort of atmosphere really gives us a lot to work with in terms of producing a place that people want to be a part of and people want to come back to year after year.
Just an observation, your title as the Assistant Director of Community and Engagement tells me that where this is coming from. But I just, you know, I've spent close to 40 years working in a variety of institutions in higher education. And I will tell you, at the average college or university, administrators sit back and wring their hands about the poor preparation of the high school graduates who are coming to them, and how we have to spend so much of our budget on offering remedial classes to bring them up to college level. And yet they rarely, if ever, step out of that mode to engage the community in a way that will alter that scenario. And that is exactly what it seems to me that you are doing there. You are providing a service in the area, in a difficult area, math and science, what is oftentimes viewed as being a difficult area, that is actually going to change the face of the pool that your admissions people are recruiting from. And not to mention improving the lives of students across the board, enhancing their probability of success in higher education, and so on and so forth. So my hat is totally and completely off to you. I'm just very, very impressed with not only the quality of the effort, but the motivation behind the effort.
Well, thank you. Well, we have a really great and supportive, you know, administration here at Harvey Mudd, you know, and it's on down. I mean, I mentioned the president. She's been incredibly supportive of the program, but, you know, to our vice presidents and our deans, you know, everybody's been incredibly supportive and big advocates of the program, right? But the other thing that we were really kind of concerned with was, I mean, I grew up in the Inland Empire. I grew up in Hemet, California, and it's difficult sometimes to get, you know, tutors to come up from the colleges, for example, right? The hotline kind of eliminates all those problems with access, right? You don't have to go anywhere to find a tutor. You don't have to have a tutor come to you. It's just available, right? You call in from wherever you are, and you have access to a college student who can provide, you know, top quality help.
Well, you are absolutely spot on that. The last college I worked for, which will remain nameless for a variety of reasons, we briefly explored this with one of our feeder K-12 districts. Not your concept, but the idea of sending tutors out to the high school and middle school classrooms surrounding us. And we ran into a sea of red tape. Those students had to pass background checks. They had to be fingerprinted. They had to be this. They had to have that box checked and so on and so forth. And suffice to say that it wasn't a very long conversation because there was, while the K-12 district was only trying to comply with his existing regulation, it just created an environment that made it so difficult and so challenging. You have found a way around that hurdle. And again, I'm very impressed with you for doing that. I have a question, though. Has anybody ever stumped the band? Have you ever received a phone call where your tutor said, "Golly, I don't know, you know? Let me see if anybody else in the room can answer that."
Yeah, and actually that's one of our crowning moments, right? We love it when we can't answer a question because that also, there's a couple of things going on there, right? Math and science are evolving fields, right? They are organically growing fields that don't exist in stasis, right? They're constantly changing. And so we're going to encounter lots of things we don't know. But the other side of that is, that's the process of learning, right? When we come across something we don't know, that's when we have to pick up and figure out what's going on here. And so one of the really cool things that the tutors really enjoy about this is when they don't know, they can then model the learning process for the caller, right? So, okay, if we don't know how to solve this, what sorts of things can we do in order to learn about it, right? Where can we access resources? Who might we ask? Is there somebody else in the room that has useful information, right? So we love it when we get stumped. Because it's not a stumbling block. It's a really great opportunity for modeling the learning process.
Now, one of the things that occurs to me is, as you were speaking, we live in an age of accountability. And I spent about 10 years of my career working in private higher educational institutions. And while the public sector is very big to talk about accountability, in my experience, because of the lower levels of funding in the private sector, there is no place where accountability is taken more seriously than there. And so I'm curious what kind of metrics you are using to determine the success, the level of success of this kind of a program.
Speaking of questions that stump me, we actually have a few different things we do. Now, one thing to keep in mind is all of our callers are anonymous, so we don't do any tracking of particular students to see if they're how their progress is being measured over the year. So all of our data is self-reported, and so there are some challenges with that. We know that self-reported data can be subject to a lot of potential biases and things like that. We try to get as objective a view as possible, right? So we're asking students how their, what their experience is like. So some students are randomly selected to be a part of a survey. We ask them at the very end, are you willing to spend another minute or two with one of our mentor tutors, so somebody who wasn't on the call, answer a few questions about your experience anonymously. And we'll ask them some things about, has this been helpful? Have your grades improved? That sort of thing. Sometimes we'll ask them if there is a parent or guardian or responsible adult nearby, if those individuals would like to take a survey. And we'll ask those individuals, similar questions in terms of effectiveness of a homework hotline. Did this child feel like they're being helped? Is it actually helping them in class? And then we also survey educators. So, we're constantly promoting this at different schools, and we're in contact with a lot of teachers and administrators at our local school sites. And so we're asking them, is this making a difference for your students? So we have a few different layers of evidence that we're collecting.
And I was, as you were responding to that question, and nice work, by the way.
Thank you.
The thought occurred to me that another metric that you might be looking at, and if you aren't, you might consider looking at, is the effect of this program on your tutors. I once read a study that the average college student changes their major somewhere between 3 and 5 times in the course of their studying and earning a bachelor's degree. And I'm wondering if this kind of an experience for your students, your Harvey Mudd College students who are doing the tutoring, might have an influence on their ultimate career goals or decisions about that?
Those are really great questions. We actually are doing some of that already. And I thank you for the suggestion. We could always expand it to capture more. But we every year the tutors at the end of the year fill out a fairly lengthy survey with some pre-response questions and some other types of questions in terms of the impact the homework hotline has had on them, right? Has it helped them as a student? Has it helped them with their communication skills? what were some of the challenges they faced, that sort of thing. But we're also looking at where are tutors ending up, right? And most of our students aren't necessarily pursuing education tracks. They're going on into jobs or careers in the tech field, into engineering, you know, things like that. But they're taking with them this experience. One of the cool things we see, though, is there's a number of other leadership opportunities here on campus. So we have a rough equivalent of resident assistants, right? And they're called proctors. And proctors are one of the most kind of prestigious positions you can have on campus. And the Homework Hotline tutors, and especially the mentor tutors, represent a fairly large percentage of the proctors every year. And so we like to see that, you know, this Homework Hotline experience might be contributing to the development of our students, especially in terms of leadership skills, and they're going on to take these other really great leadership opportunities on campus, and then taking with them that experience they've had at Hotline.
Now, we're coming down to the end of our interview. We've got just a couple minutes left. I was wondering if you would be willing to talk to us about your vision of the future for the Homework Hotline. Then, in other words, the next time you sit down to write a renewal for this grant funding, what changes, what expansions, what growth might you be putting into that grant proposal?
Right. Yeah, we're always looking for new ways to provide, you know, the best possible services to our students, right? And to our student callers. So we're always looking for, you know, do we have enough stations to meet the demand? And are our call servers working efficiently? You know, so the infrastructure stuff is always something we're concerned about. We're really happy with our current infrastructure, but we're always thinking, you know, well, what's it going to look like in 10 years? We're always thinking about, you know, effective training for our tutors and making sure they have enough support to grow as tutors, right? So it's not just about, you know, working at the Homework Hotline. It's, you know, how is working at the Homework Hotline going to benefit you and help you grow as a student, as a person, as a leader, right? So we're always looking for those things. And we're always looking at how can we reach different, I don't want to say markets, how can we reach different populations of students who might not know about the Homework Hotline currently? Some of that involves language access. We live in Southern California where language access is a really major issue, right? We have a number of threshold languages in the area that, you know, families need support in. And so we're always trying to address that sort of thing while being very cognizant of the limitations of a campus that only has 800 students, right? So we're always looking for how do we get the word out about the Homework Hotline to interested populations and making sure that we are providing the services to students who want and need them, making sure that we have the most reliable call center possible, and then also looking at, you know, emerging technologies, right? Is there room in the future for video or chat or things like that? And we're taking into consideration those sorts of things with the understanding that we need to protect our callers' privacy and all of that. So we're always looking at different ways of growing, and that's a really great question. And so we're always kind of trying to wrap our minds around what sorts of things will help us best provide services to those who need them and want them, while also maintaining, you know, great quality support for, you know, for the community, while also recognizing the need to help our own students grow and develop, you know, in the context of, you know, what it means to be a service provider in Southern California.
Outstanding. Now, one more time, if you wouldn't mind giving us the number and the hours of the service?
Absolutely. So the number is 1-877-827-5462. And the hours are Sunday through Thursday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And we launch this Sunday, September 6th. So it'll be our first day back for the semester. And our calendar is actually online, so you know, we are closed during, you know, our campus holidays and things like that. But if callers want to go to our website, www.askhmc, ask as in asking a question, and then HMC like Harvey Mudd College. So www.askhmc.edu. There's information about the Homework Hotline. There's a link to our calendar and all sorts of other, you know, fun pictures from the call center.
Outstanding. Well, I am sorry to say that we are just about out of time. My guest today has been Mr. Brian Gray, Assistant Director of Community Engagement at Harvey Mudd College, and also the coordinator of the Homework Hotline, which was the topic of our discussion. Brian, thank you so much for being with us on Education Today.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Education Today is a project of Quarter Moon Radio in cooperation with the University of California and is recorded in the studios of KUCR-FM 88.3 Riverside with production assistance from Elliot Fong. Opinions expressed on this show belong solely to those who express them. To hear this show again, check out our podcast at kiwi6.com. That's K-I-W-I, the number 6.com, and search for Education Today. This is your host, Dan Angelo. Thank you for listening, and be sure to be with us next week at this same time for more Education Today.